All right, well, we're there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we, of course, are making our way through the book of 2 Corinthians on Wednesday nights, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And last week, we went through the first part of the chapter, the first 15 verses. And if you remember, we talked about the fact that the Apostle Paul, he says that he's going to be acting foolishly, and he is very adamant about giving those disclaimers. In fact, just by way of introduction, let me kind of highlight that for you. If you look at verse 1, he says, "Would to God ye could bear with me." And that phrase, "bear with me," is to be patient with me. He says, a little, thank you very much, appreciate it. I hope you can bear with me. I've got, just my allergies are just not going away this season. So hopefully, sometimes when I start yelling, it clears up. So that'll be good. "Would to God ye could," he says, "bear with me." And that phrase means to be patient with me. He says, "a little in my folly." The word folly there, of course, means foolishness. And Paul realizes that what he's going to say is foolish. He's saying, I realize that I'm going to be acting silly. He says, "and indeed, bear with me." And again, that phrase means to put up with, to be patient with. And I want you to notice that he goes out of his way to make this disclaimer. He wants to make sure they know that what he's about to say is foolish and that he understands it's foolish. If you notice verse 16, he says, "I say again, let no man think me a fool." He says, I'm going to say some things, but I don't want you to think of me as a fool. I realize what I'm saying is foolish. He says, "if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little." Notice verse 17. He says, "that which I speak not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly." Notice in verse 19, he says, "for ye suffer fools gladly." In verse 21, he says, "I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit wherein soever any is bold." Notice what he says, "I speak foolishly, I am bold also." Notice verse 23, he says, "are they ministers of Christ?" And then he says it again, "I speak as a fool." So I want you to notice that he wants to make sure, Paul's doing what I call over-communicating here. He wants to make sure nobody misses the fact that he realizes that what he's saying is foolish, that he's acting in a foolish way, that it's folly. And, you know, Paul's pretty much, he's upset. And if you remember last week, we spent the first 15 verses kind of building up as to why it is that Paul needs to speak this way or do these things. And, you know, if we wanted to put it into modern vernacular, he's going to act a fool. He's going to get in their face and he's going to play the fool. And that phrase, act a fool or play the fool, it actually has a definition. It's defined as to behave in a silly or foolish way. And that's what Paul is going to do when he says, bear with me a little in my folly. Now, when it comes to Paul acting a fool, you know, you might ask, well, what's going on or what is he that he's going to do? And of course, we read the entire chapter there in its context. But what you need to understand, and we talked about it last week, is that there are false prophets who have been coming into the church at Corinth, and they have been exalting themselves at the expense of the Apostle Paul. And oftentimes, this is what people do when they exalt themselves. A lot of times, the problem is not that people are exalting themselves. I mean, that is a problem, but sometimes in a church setting, the problem is not that people are exalting themselves as much as it is that they're exalting themselves at the expense of someone else. See, if you're just doing well and people are seeing that you're doing well and you're being exalted by the Lord, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you have to pull someone down to exalt yourself, that's a problem. And that's what they're doing. These men are coming in, they're exalting themselves, but they're also criticizing Paul, and they're trying to bring him down. Notice there in verse number 18, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 18, the Bible says, "seeing," this was Paul speaking to the Corinthians, "seeing that many glory after the flesh." This is what these false prophets are doing. The word glory means to brag or to show off. And he says, "there are many that are glorying after the flesh." They are bragging and they are showing off, but they're doing it at the expense of the Apostle Paul. They're criticizing Paul in order to do it. And let me just say this. Whenever you find yourself, because look, it's human nature for people to gossip and for people to criticize and for people to say mean and critical things about other people, especially behind their back. But please understand this and just kind of jot this in your own mind. Whenever you sit there and speak negatively about someone behind their back, the reality is that the only reason you're doing that is because you're insecure. It's because you yourself are insecure by their success or whatever it is that they're accomplishing, and that makes you feel less than. So you have to sit there and tear them down and talk about they're not doing that great and that's not really that successful, or I'm really not that impressed. And this is what these people are doing to Paul. They're showing up and they're criticizing Paul and they're trying to exalt themselves. Notice there in verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20. He says, for ye suffer. And again, we're going to get into this passage and go verse by verse here in a minute. I'm just giving you some introductory stuff here. The word suffer means allow. He says, ye suffer or allow. He says, if a man, because remember, he's been dealing, and we talked about it extensively last week, about the false prophets. And in verse 20, he's talking about these false prophets. He says, you allow if a man, referring to the false prophets, bring you into bondage. And I believe that is a reference to, if you cross-reference that with Galatians, which we're not going to do tonight, he's talking about the fact that these false prophets are bringing in a works-based salvation teaching. Remember last week he talked about that they're preaching another Jesus, another gospel, that they have another spirit. He said, you allow these men to bring you into bondage. He says, if a man devour you, the word devour means to use, to consume. If a man take of you regarding money or resources. He says, if a man exalt himself, remember that's what they're doing. They're boasting and bragging. They're exalting themselves at the expense of Paul. He says, if a man smite you on the face, he says, you're allowing these people to come in and hurt you and steal from you and take from you and devour you and exalt themselves. And he says, if you're going to allow them to do that, then why don't you allow me, Paul says, to act a little foolish as well. And what the Apostle Paul is going to do is that he's going to put these men in their place. But in order to do so, he has to act a fool. He has to act a little foolish because he has to get down to their foolish level. Notice in verse 16, he says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. And again, Paul is very concerned with the fact that he realizes that what he's about to say and do, he does not promote this. He does not think it's wise to do. He does not think it's the right thing to do. He says, the way I'm about to speak is the way foolish people speak. But he says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. He says, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, he says, that I may, notice what he says, boast myself a little. Paul says, I'm going to act like the people that you're listening to that are criticizing me and talking bad about me. He said, well, I'm going to go ahead and act like them. And he says, please, think me, let no man think me a fool. But he says, let me boast myself a little. Notice verse 17, that which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly. Notice, in this confidence of boasting. Paul says, I'm going to boast myself a little bit. I'm going to brag a little bit. I'm going to put these men in their place. But Paul is making sure he understands. And I realize this is foolish. It's foolish to do this. Verse 18, notice what he says. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, he says, I will glory also. So I want you to understand the context, that Paul is going to give us a list of things that he's bragging about, that he's boasting about. He's doing it because of the fact that this church that he's leading has these people in it that are exalting themselves and tearing him down as a result. But Paul is very aware about the fact that doing so, that being a braggart and a boaster, is a very foolish thing. It's not something that we should do. It's not wise. Paul knows that it's not wise to compare yourself. Notice again verse 21. I speak concerning reproach as though we had been weak, howbeit whithersoever any is bold. He says, I speak foolishly. He says, I am bold also. And I just want you to notice that Paul begins to compare himself. He says, howbeit whithersoever any is bold, talking about someone else. He says, well, supposedly they're bold. And then he begins to compare himself. He says, I am bold also. Notice verse 22. He says, are they Hebrew? He says, so am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? so am I. So notice, he begins to compare himself to them, and he's going to begin to brag on himself for a little bit, but Paul understands that this is foolishness. In fact, Paul is the one who told us, if you just flip back to chapter 10, same book, just one chapter over, he's the one that already told us that it is not a wise thing to compare yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, he says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number, notice, or compare ourselves with them that commend themselves. That's what these men are doing. They're criticizing him by commending themselves, exalting themselves. He says, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. Notice the words, are not wise. He's already told us it's not wise to compare yourselves with other people. But Paul says, but I'm going to go ahead and compare myself to these men because they're trying to put me down. They're trying to criticize me. They're trying to take away the disciples that God has given me. They're trying to take away the church that God has given me. He says, I'm going to go ahead and compare myself to them. But I realize that it's foolish. And this is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, if you want to compare notes, if you want to have a bragging match, he said, I know it's foolish, but let's do it. He said, let's compare notes. And that's what he's going to do in this chapter. Now, let me just say this. And when we end the chapter tonight, I'm going to give you some thoughts about boasting and bragging, what the Bible says about that. But let me just say this. The Bible is clear, and Paul himself is clear, that bragging and boasting is not something that Christians should do. It's not something that we should do. Comparing ourselves is not something we should do. He's doing this here, and it's a very unique thing. And he bends over backwards to say, I realize I'm acting foolish. Please bear with me in my folly. And he uses that word fool and foolish over and over again. With that said, let me say this. We should not brag or be braggarts. Paul knows that. But let me just say this. For us, what we can take away is this, that what Paul is bragging about, we should try to be that. Now, we shouldn't brag, like Paul normally doesn't brag. He's a very humble man. But the things he's bragging about are all true, and they should serve as an example for us, to motivate us to do more, to accomplish more. And I, for one, am glad that 2 Corinthians chapter 11 is in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit, I believe, put it there for a reason. Because when Paul brags on himself for a little bit, it kind of gives us a glimpse into why the Apostle Paul was such a great man. Amen. Because, you know, people often, they get this idea. They think, oh, if you have a great marriage, it's just because, you know, just you and your wife must just not really like to fight that much. Or if you have some, you know, kids that turn out right for the Lord, it just must be that your kids are mellow. My kids are, you know, hyper and they've got all sorts of activity issues. But your kids, they're just mellow. Listen to me. Whenever you see somebody's success, realize that a lot of work went into it. Don't sit there and think like, oh, well, your kids are mellow, that's why they're well-behaved. No, they're well-behaved because they have a mom and dad that actually gets off the couch and disciplines them and spends time with them. You know, if somebody has a good marriage, it's because they work at it. It's not just because it happened. But see, people who are failing in life often want to just excuse and criticize those that are succeeding and put them on, oh, well, it must just be easy for them. If they had my kids, if they were married to my husband, if they were married to my wife. No. If they're succeeding, they're working at it. And people sometimes, they'll see a ministry that's succeeding, and they'll say, well, you know, it must just be easier for Paul. No, Paul did a lot of work. Paul went through a lot to accomplish the things that he had done. So Paul's about to boast himself a little bit. He says, you want to compare yourself to me? All right, let's compare. I realize it's foolish. I realize it's not wise. But if that's what it takes, if that's what you want, let's do it. Notice verse 23. Now, I want you to notice there's really two things that Paul boasts himself. There's three things. We'll cover the third one in the conclusion. But there's two things that he boasts himself about that he normally would not boast himself about. The first one is that Paul foolishly boasts himself about the fact that he has suffered more than others. Paul says, you want to compare yourself to me? He says, let's do it. Notice verse 23. He says, are they ministers of Christ? And again, parentheses, I speak as a fool. He says, I realize that a normal, mature Christian would not speak the way I'm about to speak. But they want to say that they are ministers of Christ. They want to say that they are evangelists or pastors or deacons or apostles. He says, are they ministers of Christ? Paul says, I am more. Paul says, if they are a minister of Christ, I am more a minister of Christ. You say, well, Paul, how do you justify that? He says, well, here's why I am more a minister. He says, and labor's more abundant. Notice these words. He's about to tell us all the things that he suffered for the cause of Christ. He says, in stripes above measure. I mean, the word stripes is referring to someone taking a whip or some sort of like a leather belt and whipping you with it. And Paul says, you know, as far as getting hit with a leather object, he says, as far as getting stripes, I've had above measure. I can't even give you a number. He says, in prison, more frequent. Took the time to knock the doors. After Paul took the time to get the converts, after Paul took the time to call them back, to set up a ride for them, to talk to them about baptism, to get them in discipleship. I mean, forget get them in discipleship, guys. After Paul took the time to write the discipleship course, after Paul took the time to put them through the discipleship class, after Paul took the time to write the letters, to write the sermons, to write the messages, to spend the nights counseling, to spend the nights praying, to spend the nights having fellowship and events for them, helping them grow, then, you know, once the church is there, then these guys show up and they're like, Paul's not that great. We're just as godly as Paul is. And by the way, isn't that exactly what Korah said about Moses? Right. Moses isn't that great. All God's people can be like Moses. Well, here's the thing. All God's people can be like Moses, but all God's people are not like Moses. And all God's people can be like Paul, but most people are not like Paul. And Paul says, look, I normally would not compare notes. I normally would not pat myself on the back. I normally would not toot my own horn. But if you want to compare notes, if you want to talk about who's the better minister, who's the better pastor, who's the better apostle, who's the better evangelist, he said, if you want to take out the list of notes, then he says, let's do it. It's foolish, but we can do it. Because he says, in stripes, I'm above measure. In prison, more frequently. He said, I've been in prison more times than you have. He says, in deaths oft. He says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. He says, thrice was I beaten with rods. I mean, think about this resume. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Here's what Paul said. Paul says, I traveled the world. I traveled the world preaching the gospel, knocking doors, and as a result, this is what happened. Thrice was I beaten with rod. Now, Paul normally would not compare notes, but let me tell you something. I don't think you and I want to compare notes with Paul. I don't think you want to get to heaven one day and have to explain to Paul why you couldn't show up for soul winning. Well, Paul, you know, here's the thing. It was kind of hot during the summer. And Paul would say, yeah, hell's hot too. Well, Paul, here's the thing, you know, it's kind of a lot of work. And Paul, here's the thing, sometimes they slam the door in my face. Paul would say, thrice was I beaten with rods. Think about that. People taking rods and beating you with them. He says, once was I stoned. I mean, think about that. People taking stones and throwing them at you and hurling them at you with the intent and purpose of killing you. And some people believe, and I'm one of them, and I think we're going to see it next week, that Paul actually died. But you're too busy on Saturday to show up for soul winning. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. Paul says, you want to compare notes? Let's compare notes. In journeys often. In perils of water, in perils of robbers, he says, look, I've been in perils of water, I've been in perils of robbers, he says, in perils by mine own countrymen. He says, fellow Israelites and Jews have turned against me. He says, I go to foreign countries to preach the gospel. There's two groups of people there. There's Jews and there's Gentiles. When I'm around the Jews, I've been in peril of mine own countrymen. And then he says, also in perils by the heathen. He says, I'm pretty much, it don't matter who I'm with, I'm in danger. He says, in perils in the city. Oh, you got to get out of the city. The city's too dangerous. You got to go out in the wilderness. He says, well, I've been in perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Paul says, you want to compare notes? Let's compare notes. And you know what? Honestly, though it was foolish for Paul to do this, I'm thankful Paul did it. Because when I read that, I think to myself, I've got nothing to complain about. I've got no reason in the world why I can't show up to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning, read my King James Bible, pray. There's no reason in the world why I can't do that. Amen. In the United States of America, which is a wicked nation, but still the most free nation in this world. Amen. Paul said, this is what I did. Paul said, this is what I did to start this church. What about you guys? You Corinthians? Look at verse 31. He said, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever more, he says, knoweth that I lie not. He said, I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating. He said, in fact, right off the bat, right when I started, he says, in verse 32 and 33, he gives us this little story from his very early, when he first was converted. 2 Corinthians 11:32, he says, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison. Notice, desirous to apprehend me, he says, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Paul says, look, if you want to sit here and compare notes and boast and brag, he said, I normally wouldn't bring these things up because he says, honestly, like we're saying tonight, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. But he says, but if you want to compare notes, if you want to know what it has cost me to serve God, he said, let's go ahead, let's do it. He says, this is what I put up with to be a soul winner, to be a disciple, to be a Christian. And you know, the response that you and I should have to this is, wow, I've got no excuse. Whatever excuse I've got, I'm not going to bring it up. You know, they always talk about in these jokes, which are obviously not doctrinal, but they always talk about, you know, you're going to go to heaven one day and you're going to see, you know, St. Peter, and you're going to have to talk to him and explain to him. Well, you know, you better hope it's Peter, not Paul. Because Paul's going to be like, you did what now? I'm sorry, say it again. Did I hear that? You were gardening? That's why you didn't show up for soul winning? Paul foolishly boasts about the fact that he has suffered more than others. Talks about all his heartache and his trials. But I want you to notice, secondly tonight, not only does Paul foolishly brag about the fact that he has suffered more than others, Paul also foolishly brags about the fact that he has worked more than others. Notice verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. Again, he's saying, I know I'm being silly here. Please, he says, bear with me in my folly. He says, but if they're ministers of Christ, he says, I am more. And by the way, let me just say this, and at the expense of sounding arrogant and boastful, I'll let the Apostle Paul say it. Not all, let me just let you in on a little secret, because I feel like sometimes people don't understand this. Not all pastors are created equal. Right. Not all churches are created equal. Yeah. I think it's always funny to me when people come to a church like this and they get the things that you get here, and I'm not trying to brag or boast, and I apologize if I sound like a fool, but they get the time and attention and energy that you get in this church, and then people think they'll think like, oh, I'm gonna get this anywhere, and we laugh. Because what you get at Verity Baptist Church, I'm sorry to say, you're not just gonna get that anywhere. Right. Not all churches. I mean, Paul says, are they ministers of Christ? He says, I am more. And you say, why would Paul say that? Here's why. He says, and labor's more abundant. He said, just flat out, I outwork them. He says, I worked harder. He said, I did more. He said, and labors more abundant. And then he gives us this whole long list of persecutions and of afflictions and of being beat with rods Then he says, in prisons often. He says, in journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of mine own countrymen. In perils of the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and faithfulness. And watchings and in hungers and thirst and fasting and in cold and nakedness. He gives us his whole list. And then he says at the end of that whole list, notice verse 28. He says, beside those things that are without. He says, beside all those things. He said, while I was dealing with all those trials and all those troubles, getting stoned and getting put in prison and getting beat with rods and having false brethren attack me and having my own countrymen and heathen attack me. He said, beside those things that are without, he says, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Say, so what does that mean? Here's what he means. Here's what he's saying. He says, I went through all that and I still ministered to you. He said, I went through all that and we still wrote you a happy birthday card. I went through all that and we still met with you for counseling. I went through all that and we still visited you in the hospital. I went through all that and we still married your children. And he said, I went through all that and we still buried your dead. He said, I went through all that. He said, look, me going through all that persecution did not relieve the fact that I had to still do ministry. He said, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He said, I still took care of my business, the business of ministry. Say, how do you do it, Paul? Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all. And Paul says, I would not normally brag like this. I realize it's foolishness, Paul would say. But if you want to compare notes, let's compare notes. If you want to sit there and criticize and say, well, we're better. Paul says, okay, well, let's compare notes. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You go back one book into 1 Corinthians. Do me a favor, put a ribbon or a bookmark or something there because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. And by the way, Paul's not complaining here. Paul's not saying like, oh, and I have to do. No, no, Paul says, this is what God has called me to do. In 1 Timothy, Paul says that he is thankful that God called him into the ministry. Amen. That Paul says he's thankful that God, that Jesus counted him worthy to be brought into the ministry. He's not complaining about these things. He normally would never bring these things up. He says, but if you want to criticize me, he said, you want to try to fire me? He said, you want to take a vote and try to fire me and bring in this other preacher because they're criticizing me and they're comparing themselves to me? He's like, I normally wouldn't mention it, but if you want to compare notes, let's compare notes. Are they ministers of Christ? He says, I am more. He says, I've suffered more. He says, I've worked more. And by the way, that's why Paul accomplished more. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Notice what he says. Notice what he says. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul says, look, I worked harder. I worked longer. I got up earlier. I stayed up later. I did more. I accomplished more. He said, I wasn't afraid to work. I wasn't afraid to work hard. Go to Genesis 31. Genesis 31. Since we're here, let me say this. And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I've labored more abundantly than they all. I'm not going to tell you that. Because I don't believe that, and I'm not going to tell you. I can tell you this. I don't know that I've worked harder as a pastor than any other pastor in this country. But I can tell you this, I've worked as hard as any other pastor. Amen. I can tell you this, I do believe that your pastor's wife works harder than any pastor's wife I've ever met, period. Amen. I mean, just period, end of story, not even close. I believe our staff works hard. Amen. I believe they labor abundantly. And you know, you should not take that for granted. Amen. You should not take for granted what's done, because Paul's saying, Paul's being criticized here. He says, everything I've done to help you is just being dismissed by a braggart, by someone who's boasting and bragging. And Paul says, look, I normally wouldn't bring it up, and I normally wouldn't say it. But if you need to hear it, then let's go ahead. Let me give you my resume. One thing we learn from this passage of Scripture is the importance of work. And you know, the Apostle Paul was a man, I like to use the word tenacity. Paul was the type of guy, I mean, he just showed up. He just did what needed to be done. I mean, literally, you read in the book of Acts, Paul is stoned. I believe he's stoned to death. I believe he goes up to heaven, and we're going to talk about that in the next chapter. But he's stoned, not stoned like California stone, you know, stoned like they threw rocks at him, and he became unconscious, and he probably died. And then you know what happens? He wakes up, and, you know, he takes a three-month sabbatical. No. He wakes up, he gets up, and he just goes to the next city and keeps working. The Bible says that in all labor, there's reward. And we should just learn to be, and you know, we kind of talked about this on Sunday night, but we should just learn to be hard workers. Amen. We should just learn to be people of tenacity. People that work hard and they work through difficulties. Did Paul have difficulties? Absolutely. Have you had difficulties? Have we had difficulties? Yes. And we must learn to work through those difficulties. And look, this is not just in ministry. This is at your job. Because remember, when you go to work, you are supposed to work as unto the Lord. Amen. Whatever it is you do. You say, well, I'm a wife and I stay home and I'm submissive to my husband. Well, you're supposed to do it as unto the Lord. And we should just learn to be, look, we need to learn to be people of hard work and character. In Genesis 31, we have the story of Jacob. I love the story of Jacob. And I love this passage of Scripture because it really highlights the type of man that Jacob was. Because if you're familiar with the life of Jacob, you know this, that Jacob came from a very wealthy home. Jacob had a very wealthy grandfather by the name of Abraham. And the Bible tells us that Abraham had many riches. He was very successful. And Jacob also is a very good businessman. And Jacob also had a very successful father by the name of Isaac, who also was a very successful businessman. And not just because Abraham gave him an inheritance, but the Bible tells us that he went out and that he planted fields and that the Lord blessed him 100-fold. And that he grew in his success and his influence and his impact. And the Bible tells us that the Philistines envied him. And Jacob, you would think like, well, he was just born with a silver spoon in his mouth. You know, his parents just had all this money and it was given to him. But the thing about Jacob is this, that because of the fact that Jacob sinned and it was wrong what he did, but he deceived his father to take his brother's birthright, Jacob actually leaves home broke. He leaves home with nothing. Very successful grandfather. Very successful father, and then he leaves home with nothing. If you remember, on his way to Laban, he stops at a cave with nothing, and he identifies it as the house of God, and he makes a promise, and he says, Lord, I've got nothing. If you give me something, I will present to you 10% of what you give me here in your house as a sacrifice to you. But he said that because he had nothing. He had nothing to sacrifice at that time. But yet when Jacob comes back, if you remember the story of Jacob, after the 20 years that he spent with Laban, God actually tells him, hey, remember that vow you made where you said you were going to tithe? It's time to pay up. And God has him meet him in Bethel and tithe. And you say, why did God do that? Here's why. Because Jacob left as a very poor, broke young man, but he came back as a very wealthy man. And you say, what was the secret to his success? It's the secret to all success. Genesis 31, look at verse 38. Remember when Jacob is leaving and Laban is following him and they're having this argument? And Laban is trying to say like, you know, you're taking all my stuff. And he's lying. Laban is lying. Everything Jacob has, he worked for. Genesis 31, verse 38. Here we have Jacob giving Laban his resume. He says, this 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young. Listen to me, men. This is a continuation of Sunday night sermon. You want to succeed at work? Make this, become this. Amen. Become this guy. Notice, this 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young. And the rams of thy flocks have I not eaten. He says, I didn't steal from you, Laban. When I was out there and I was working, I could have took a ram could have been born. You wouldn't even know if I would have killed it and ate it. He said, but I haven't. The rams of thy flocks have I not eaten. That which was torn a beast, I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hands dost thou require it. He says, when something was lost, he said, I didn't go back to you later and say, like, oh well, I was taking a nap. And he said, no, every time that a beast, that something was torn a beast, he says, I didn't bring that to you. He said, I bear the loss of it. I paid for it. Of my hands dost thou require it. Whether stolen by day or stolen by night, he said, thus I was. Notice, here's the secret to success, man. Thus I was. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou changest my wages 10 times. You say, what was Jacob's secret to success? The man knew how to work. He said, I got up early and I stayed up late and I didn't complain and I didn't make excuses. I just got it done. And he said, and God bless me. And he said, now I'm going to go pay God his 10%. Amen. You know, the problem with the average man is he just doesn't know how to work anymore. Work is a lost art in our society today. Jacob says, I went into the secular world. You know what I did? I worked hard. Paul says, I went into the ministry. You know what I did? I worked hard. And I'm here to tell you something. Whenever you see somebody succeeding, whenever you see somebody raising godly children, having a good marriage, having a successful business, having a successful ministry, don't criticize them and just talk down about them. Well, they, you know, must just be easier in Sacramento. Must just be easier. No, it's not easier in Sacramento. It's just as hard as wherever you're at. We just work at it, and we work at it, and we work at it, and we just show up week after week, month after month, year after year. We just try to get it done. 1 Corinthians 15, if you would. Paul says, very reluctantly, he says, look, I'm going to act a fool. He says, I'm going to play the fool. He says, please bear with me in my folly. He says, I realize what I'm going to say is foolishness, and I'm being a fool. But he said, it's not a wise thing to compare, and it's not a wise thing to boast and to brag. But if you want to compare and you want to boast and brag, he says, let's go ahead and do it, though it's foolish. Let's do it. He says, because I've suffered more than you, and I've worked more than you. But I want to, just as we kind of finish this up, I want you to understand that Paul understands that we should not boast and we should not brag. And here's why. Because anything you have to boast and brag about, it's anything you've accomplished, any success you have, we should look at any success that we've had and realize that it is by God's grace. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, notice what he says. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He says, Paul says, the grace that was bestowed. I mean, think about this thought. He says, the grace that it took God to save me was not in vain. The word vain means empty, shallow, wasted. He said, the grace that it took God to save me was not wasted. I wonder how many of us could say that. He says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. He says, I labored more abundantly than they all. But here's his humility. He says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Amen. Notice that Paul understands that it's to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would, you're there in chapter 15. Go back to chapter 4. Look at verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. I love 1 Corinthians 4 and 7 because in this verse we have a series of questions, three questions. I call these clarifying questions. Sometimes it's good to have these clarifying questions when you're kind of in the midst of work or a battle, when you're kind of where everything's just, there's a lot of dust up. It's good to have these clarifying questions to kind of help you see things clearly. to give you some perspective in life. And Paul gives us these three clarifying questions, and they have to do in regards to boasting and bragging. He says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, he says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another?" He said, if you're different than someone else, if you're smarter, if you're more athletic, if you're more successful, if you're whatever it is, he said, "Did you do that?" He said, "Who maketh thee to differ from another?" That's a clarifying question. Then he says, here's another question. You don't like that question? Here's another question. And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? So what do you have that you didn't get from God? He said, here's another clarifying question. Now, if thou didst receive it, well, you don't understand, I'm very smart. Okay, but God made you smart. You don't understand, I'm very strong. But God made you strong. You understand, I'm this and I'm that. Whatever you have was given to you by God. Whatever you have that makes you different, special, better, who makes you that? It's not you. Right. Whatever you have, here's the question is this. What do you have that God didn't give you? Then he says, if thou didst receive it, he said, if you agree that whatever you have was given to you by God, he said, why dost thou glory? Remember, the word glory means boast or brag. Why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? That's a great question. If everything you have, I'm not talking about the possessions, although your possessions count, but I'm just talking about even physically, even just innately, just everything in your life, your where you grew up, where you were raised, the family you were born, if everything was orchestrated and given to you by God, then why do you glory as if it wasn't given to you? See, the truth is that, and Paul understands that, we're not supposed to boast and brag. And don't you know that innately? Nobody likes a bragger. Go to Proverbs, just real quickly. We're going to look at like three more passages and we'll finish up, right? Proverbs chapter 27. If you open up your Bible just right in the center, you're more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 27. While you turn there, let me read to you from James 4:16. James 4:16 says this, "But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil." Be careful about being a bragger. Proverbs 27 and verse 2 says this, "Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. A stranger and not thine lips." You know, other people may compliment you. Other people may praise you. Other people may talk about your successes and your accomplishments and the things you've done. And that's great. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, "Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth." You say, "But nobody will praise me." Well, that should tell you something. "Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine lips." We shouldn't be braggers. Now, keep your place right there in Proverbs. We're going to come back in that direction. And go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to finish up this chapter. But we're going to come back into the Old Testament. So just keep your finger there if you don't mind. Paul finishes. He's done with his foolish boasting and bragging. He finishes his boasting, and then he tells us one thing that we should boast about. Because the things he said about how he suffered more and he's worked harder, he says, "I really shouldn't say that. And I normally wouldn't say that," Paul would say. He says, "It's foolish for me to say that, but if you need me to say it, then I'll go ahead and say it." But then Paul says, there is one thing. Paul says, there is one thing that we should all boast and brag about. Paul says, if there's one thing you want to brag about, let me tell you what it is. Now, notice he says it in verse 29. 2 Corinthians 11, 29. He says, "Who is weak?" Now, remember, he just got done talking about how great he was. "I labored more abundantly than they all. I suffered more. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more." He says, "Are they bold? I'm bold." He said, "Are they Hebrews? I'm a Hebrew. Are they Israelites? I'm an Israelite." He just gave us this whole list. And then he says this. Who is weak? He says, "Who is weak and I am not weak?" And what he's saying is, in the same way that I'm strong, like these men are strong, he says, I also understand that they're weak, and I'm weak like they are. Who is weak, and I'm not weak? who is offended, and I burn not. Paul says, it bothers me when you criticize me. Verse 30, if I must needs glory. He says, if I have to boast and brag about something, he says, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. And you say, well, what in the world is that? Well, we're going to come back to that next week. But let me just kind of give you a little preview. Go to Jeremiah, if you would, Jeremiah chapter 9. In the next chapter, the Apostle Paul is going to speak to us about his infirmities. I don't know exactly when we're going to get to it, but we're going to get to it in chapter 12. And he talks about the fact that when he got this infirmity, this thorn in the flesh, he did not want it. In fact, he asked God to take it from him three different times, and God refused. But Paul got to the place where he was able to glory in his infirmities. And I'll just kind of give you a little heads up or a little insight into the next chapter. He glories in his infirmity because he realizes that it is his infirmity, it is his weakness, it is what he cannot do that forces him to be dependent on God. So Paul says, if I'm going to glory about it, he says, all these things I shouldn't have said. They were foolish. He said, but if we're going to glory about anything, we should glory in our weakness. We should glory in our infirmities. We should glory in our own frailness and dependence upon Christ. Jeremiah chapter 9, if you would. I want you to see this passage. We're almost done. If you're there in Proverbs, you have Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 9. On Sunday night, I preached a sermon, and part of it was geared towards the men to maybe help you guys get motivated to get out there and do something, accomplish something, build something, get a vision. And we talked about it even a little tonight. You know, and here's what I believe. I believe that every man should make it their personal goal to be as successful as possible in life. Amen. And you say, why? Well, my why is probably different than most whys. And my why is this. It's in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. This is consistent with the teaching in the Bible that we should not glory, boast, brag. He says, look, if you're wise, don't boast about being wise. Don't glory in, he says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. If you're mighty, let not the wise man, the mighty man glory in his might. He says, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Notice verse 24. I love this. Verse 24. But let him that glorieth. He said, if you got to glory in something, glory in this. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Amen. This is God speaking. God says, don't boast about your wisdom. Don't boast about your might. Don't boast about your riches. If you've got to glory about something, he says, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. If you've got something to brag about, if you got something you want to show off about, if you got something you want to let people know about, it's not about your nice house and not your car and not your success and not your strength and not your beauty. It ought to be about the fact that you know God. Amen. I mean, the fact that you understand and you know the Lord and you're close to God. You say, why, Pastor, would you say that every man and every woman ought to have a goal of being the most successful they can? Here's why. So that when people ask you, whoa, why are you so successful? You can say, well, it's actually not me. Amen. Let me tell you about my God. Amen. Because if we're going to glory in anything, we ought to glory in this. That he understandeth and knoweth the Lord. So Paul, go back there real quickly. We'll finish up. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 30, last verse. He says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine, he says, infirmities. And with that, Paul sets us up for the next chapter. Because the next chapter, he's going to talk about his infirmities, his thorn in the flesh, his revelations, and how they're all connected. And I encourage you to join us, of course, as we continue our study in the Bible, in the book of 2 Corinthians. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this chapter. And we thank you for the clarity that it gives us. Lord, I pray every person here, I pray every man here in the secular workforce decides to be the most successful they possibly can be. I pray every man in the ministry here decides to be that they would be the most successful they can. I pray every wife here, whatever position she finds herself in, I pray these moms that are homeschooling children would say, I want to be the most successful educator that I possibly can. I want to be the most successful in raising children and having a marriage and living a Christian life. So that if anybody ever asks, I can give God the glory. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd be humble enough you'd help us to be humble enough to realize that it's not about us. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.